always fun because it gives me a teaching opportunity with my three-year-old daughter. I don't know if you heard her crying while we were worshiping just now, but we were in the middle of worship. Her and I were up here dancing, and all of a sudden, she started just taking her dress off. And I was like, sweetie, I want you to worship in the spirit, but that is too much. That is too wrong kind of spirit. And so I told her that's not allowed, and she lost it. So we had to step out for a minute and have a little conversation. But she's good. She's in there now. So, Ohana Sundays, where you can teach your kids that you can't strip in church. And so it is good to be here. Only in Maui, right? Only in Maui. No. Man, I love this. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity to come and really just open God's word a little bit and dig in to it and what God has to teach us this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about purpose. Right, purpose is one of those things that I think each one of us is looking for. Each one of us is striving, okay, who am I? Who are you? Why am I here? Why do I exist? What is my purpose in life? And I think every single one of us is looking for the purpose because life is just better when you have purpose. In fact, there's been 3,500 some odd studies done on leadership. And as they did these studies on leadership, what they found is every single good leader, one of the number one things that he or she has is a sense of purpose. If you are a leader and you're good at being a leader, then you have a sense of purpose, this thing that you are driving towards. And I think the reason that purpose is important is because, quite frankly, life is hard. And if you don't have a purpose, then when life gets hard, you kind of lose your way a little bit. When we have purpose, we're able to endure things a little bit more than we would maybe normally be able to. Let me put it this way. Imagine, ladies, if you were to go to the doctor, and all of a sudden the doctor comes in and kind of does the checkup, does the normal thing, whatever that looks like, and you're there, and then the doctor comes back in and says, okay, here's the diagnosis. You're going to gain a whole lot of weight. Your waist size is about to increase like crazy. You're probably going to be kind of moody and have these weird hunger craving things, and there's nothing you can do about it. See you later. Like, most of you women are going to walk out of there and be like, that is the worst diagnosis ever. Like, nobody wants to be told that, unless he follows it up with, because you're pregnant. At which point, you go, okay, now all of these things that we would normally say are not what we want are a good thing because there's this creation going on. Right, there's this miracle of birth and a baby, and it's the purpose of having a baby that all of a sudden when you're waking up and throwing up every single day is worth it because you've got purpose, right? The purpose is that a baby is being... See, when we have purpose in life, it allows us to endure things a little bit more. I think we're all looking for it. This is why when you get on a plane or when you meet someone new, what do you ask them? What do you do? What do you do, right? The world says that our purpose is wrapped up in what do we do, who we are, like the relationships that we have. But you see, I think there's a whole lot more to it. And I think quite simply this morning, God has a purpose for you. I think God has created each one of you as unique individuals and that God has a purpose for you, but it's not about you. God has a purpose for you. I want you to hear that. But it's not about you. And I think John chapter 1 is going to help us with that. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to pull them out. Or if this is the point where you can turn them on, if you're doing the iPad thing, iPhone, smartphone. But hey, seriously, turn your Bible on. Like, you don't need to Instagram a picture of me, okay? Like, just get to your Bible app. If you don't have one, there's going to be some ushers that are grabbing some up here at the front and walking around. Just raise your hand. They would love to put the Word of God in your hand. And if it's the only, if you don't have a Bible, just take that one with you. We would love for you to just keep that and have a Bible that you can look at daily. And so we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verse 19. Now, if you're new to church, maybe you're new to Christianity, maybe you're a guest with somebody here today, then what's going on here in the book of John is it's written by John the Apostle. John was one of Christ's apostles. He was really the only one to not be martyred. He lived late in life. He's probably into his 90s when he's writing this gospel for us. John wrote this one. He also wrote 1, 2, and 3 John, right? 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. He wrote those, and he also wrote Revelation. And so a good chunk of our New Testament is because of our author here. We're going to read about John the Baptist, okay? Now, this guy's a little bit different. So you've got John, our author, and you've got John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus Christ. He knew him as a man, but he didn't yet know that he was God. We find that out as we read through this. And so he's out in the wilderness. He's baptizing people, calling them to repentance. History says that he's wearing camel skin. I'd like to think that he had dreads. I don't know. He's eating locusts and honey. Paella, right? Okay, like that's John the Baptist, okay? You got that in your head now. There's your image of John the Baptist, all right? He's out there doing his thing, and we are going to learn from him this morning, I think, about purpose. And so jump in with me at verse 19. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" "No." So they said to him, "Then who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and so they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." And these things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. You see, John the Baptist is given the exact same question that we want to answer today. Who are you? Are you a mom, dad, son, daughter, hostess, realtor, surf bum, wanderer? Who are you? That's the first question that they ask him. And I think the first thing that we can learn about our purpose is that we need to know who we are not and be honest about it. That's the first thing we see here is John knows who he is not and he's honest about it. See, the Levites here, the priests and the Levites, they had come and they had heard that John the Baptist was out in the wilderness baptizing people, and he's got a throng of disciples that are just coming, and his ministry is growing, and his name is starting to be known. And so the priests and the Levites go, "Wait a minute, only we, biblically, according to the Old Testament and Jewish law, only the priests and Levites are supposed to be baptizing. So who is this guy out in the wilderness baptizing? What is he doing?" And their assumption is that if he is baptizing, then he's one of three things. He is either the Christ, right? Psalm chapter 2, the anointed one, prophesied about in Isaiah and Genesis and Micah. And all of the Old Testament is pointing to the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God who will come. And they're going, "Okay, if this guy's that guy, then he can be baptizing. We're cool with that. Like, he's the Messiah." And they go, or he's Elijah, right? Micah 4, 5, and chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 says, "Look, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day the Lord arrives. He will encourage fathers and their children to return to me, so that I will not come and strike the earth with judgment." See, these priests and Levites, they knew Micah, and they were like, "Okay, this guy's, maybe he's Elijah. Maybe he's, and if he's Elijah, then okay, he can be baptizing. Or maybe he's the Deuteronomy 18 prophet that we've been looking for, the greater Moses." Like Moses was great, right? He delivered Israel from Egypt, from rule and dominion, but now Israel is back in captivity, and they're looking for the fulfilled promise of Deuteronomy 18, the prophet that is to come. And they said, "Okay, maybe he's that guy." So the assumption is that he's one of these three persons. He's either the Messiah, Elijah, or the prophet. And his response in verse 20, he confessed, "Did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' What then, are you Elijah?" "Nope." "Are you the prophet?" "Uh-uh." He looks at all three because, see, he says, "I'm not any of those things." Elijah knew who he was not, and he was honest about it. But I think that's tough for you and I. Like, if I was to put myself in John the Baptist's shoes, I would probably have a tendency to step back and go, "Sure, I'm the Messiah. Like, what? If you're going to call me that, then why not? I mean, my rule would be greater. You're going to set me up as king. Like, okay, eventually you're going to ask me to do some miracles. I probably can't do those. But until then, like, I could become rich and y'all wouldn't know. Well, then Rome would find out and kill. Okay, I don't want to be the Messiah. Hey, I'm Elijah. I'm like, how are you going to know that I'm not? Like, I'm out here baptizing. I've got all these followers. I'm calling repent. Like, sure, I'm Elijah. Or you know what? Here, I'll just be a great prophet. Like, yeah, compare me with Moses. Like, that's great. I like that. Because I think that each one of us has a tendency to present ourselves to other people as someone that we're not. Okay, maybe you don't go around saying like, hey, I'm Ricky Ryan, nice to meet you, right? Like you don't go around introducing yourself as someone that you're not. But I think because we don't really know who we are, we claim to be somebody that we're not. So at work, your boss comes to you and gives you a job to do, and you do it, and then he asks you how it's going, and you fudge just a little bit so that you look better than you really are. You round the numbers up a little bit more, right? Pastors are notorious for this. How many people go to your church? 700 when it's really like 501, but you round up, right? I mean, it's like we do this, all right? We have this tendency to just sort of stretch it a little bit because we always have this tendency deep down inside of us, I think, to not be honest with people, that we don't really know who we are. So we simply present ourselves as someone that we're not. We're not honest with other people about who we really are. And I think because of that, we don't really know our purpose. Or maybe it's that you've gone through some really bad stuff in your life. Or maybe you're going through it right now. But you stretch it just a little bit so that you maybe get a little more pity from someone. Or maybe it's that relationship that broke up and you're so focused on what the other person did that you paint them in a picture that they are horrible without just doing the right thing and looking at your own heart and saying, well, where am I at fault in this? Because we're so focused on presenting ourselves in a way that we are not rather than just being honest with people about who we really are. And I think the first thing that we see John the Baptist do here is he knew who he wasn't and he was honest about it. What's ironic is we do this in all sorts of different places in life. If you don't believe me, simply go troll someone's Instagram. To troll means to just like spend a lot of time wasting your time at someone. Okay, like go look at somebody's Instagram and see what they put. What pictures do they put out there publicly of the life that they live, right? It's the picture of them with their feet up at the beach that says hashtag my office for the day, hashtag Maui life. Right? Like this is them, like they're presenting themselves to the world. They don't present the picture of the argument they had with their wife and kids on the way to the beach because they were mad that they were going to be late and miss out on valuable. They don't take the picture of like their wife yelling at them, hashtag angry wife, angry life. Right? Like you don't see that. You just don't, Jen has never yelled at me, by the way. That's not a personal story. It's just general, right? Like we don't. We present to the world our best selves, and I think in that, we're sometimes presenting someone that we're really not, which means we need to maybe spend some time today confessing, repenting, being honest with a spouse or a loved one for the first time, finding a pastor, an elder, a parent, a coworker, a trusted friend, or maybe even for the first time, being honest with God. He already knows who you really are. So just be honest with him about it. Quit trying to present yourself in a way that you're really not. I think that's the first step to finding our purpose. Now, ironically, those of you that know your Bible well, we know that John the Baptist actually was the Elijah. He was the spirit of Elijah, but he was sitting here going, listen, I don't care about that. Like, I think it's this beautiful thing we see in John the Baptist here, which goes to the main point of all of this. He's going, listen, I don't know who... I just know what I am, and I know whose I am, and I'm just going to go after that because, see, John the Baptist had a purpose, but it wasn't about him. And it was Christ who later on goes, yeah, John the Baptist was fulfilling that, and he didn't even know that. Because the first step in finding our purpose is to know who we are not and to be honest about it. But the second one is just as important, and it's to actually know who you are. You need to know who you are. It's not enough to simply know who you're not. My mom is a great example of this. My mom is one of the most godly women I have ever met. She's one of the sweetest ladies. She and God have an intimate relationship. But you see, when my mom got married, and then when she started having kids, all my mom knew was that she didn't want to be her mom. Now my grandmother was a great lady, but she had some generational sin. She had some family of origin issues that my mom knew she did not want to replicate. And so my mom was looking at her mom and going, I just know that I don't want to be that. And so then she went over here and said, okay, well then who do I want to be? Who am I as a mom? Who am I as a wife? And my dad's mom, here's a great Texas name for you, ready? Mildred, okay? my dad's mom, Mildred. My dad talked about her Like, she's on this huge pedestal. And so my mom, coming into that relationship, went, well, then I'm just going to be Mildred. And she lived that way for years. And the way that she tells the story is that one day, through just a lot of different life events and things that were going on, she had this image of wearing an apron, right? My mom was, she's one of those stay-at-home moms that works harder than anybody that's out in the workforce. And she's got this apron on that said Mildred across the front of it. Because that's who she thought she was supposed to be. And then God started to just work in her and wrestle in her. And she took off the apron that said Mildred, because that's not who she was. And she put on the apron that said Nancy. See, it wasn't enough for my mom to simply know who she wasn't. She had to let God show her who she was. We see this with John the Baptist in verse 22. So they said to him, "Who are you then? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." You see, John the Baptist here says, I am fulfilling Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. I am, my purpose is to be the one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And what's amazing is when you start to find your purpose, right? Which I do, I believe it begins with going, I'm not these things. But then once you find out who you are, all of a sudden you can have a laser focus on what it is that God has called you to do. That all of a sudden you can look up and say, listen, I'm not concerned with who, with this or that or the other. This is what I'm striving for because it's my purpose in life. And when you start to do that, all of a sudden you can start to let go of things that you once held dear. Those sin habits and those sin hangups that once really you valued and you cherished them, all of a sudden you go, yeah, that's not who I am anymore. And my purpose is not about that. So you can let go of those things. We see John the Baptist do this. The next day, verse 35, he's just baptized Jesus right above this. And in verse 35, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. He looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples near him heard this and they followed Jesus. John the Baptist had all these disciples. They were all following him. This is why the priests and the Levites are even asking him these questions. And then he sees Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then he looks at two of his disciples and he goes, "Follow him instead." This is why John knew his purpose, which is why in chapter 3, he says that Christ must become greater and I must become less. See, John knew his purpose enough that he was able to let go of some things that were near and dear to him. In fact, we're pretty sure that the two disciples here that follow Jesus are Andrew, who became an apostle of Jesus, and John, our author. What if John the Baptist had been all about himself and all about his own purpose and said, yeah, I've got a purpose and it's about me, and held on to those disciples? We wouldn't have the book we're reading right now. We wouldn't have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John or Revelation. But John the Baptist knew who he was, which allowed him to let go of some things that were near and dear to him. Or maybe another way to say this is that when you know who you are, you're actually able to say no to some really good things. It was once said that the enemy of best is good, which means when I know who I'm not, when I know who I am, good things come my way and I can say no to them. One of my favorite examples of this in life is a guy by the name of Howard Hendricks. Howard Hendricks was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary for 60 years. He was a professor for 60 years. This man, I had the opportunity to sit under his teaching while I was in seminary and his hermeneutics class, which is just a fancy way to say Bible study. Okay, like how to study your Bible. Like I sat, got to sit under him in there. And in fact, he's written a book called Living by the Book. And if you're going, hey, I need a method for how to study the Bible, go buy his book. It's Living by the Book. It's fantastic. Hendricks wrote over 23 books. He was a professor for 60 years. But before that, before he was a professor, he was a pastor. And one day, he read 2 Timothy 2:2. "And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also." Shortly after he read that verse and felt God calling him to that, the president of Dallas Theological Seminary came to him and said, "Hey, would you ever come on as an adjunct professor?" And he went, "Yeah, absolutely." Because in Hendrick's mind, that had become his purpose. And he said, listen, I could pastor one church, or I could teach 10 men to pastor 10 churches. And when he retired, after 60 years in seminary teaching, he had pastored and taught over 10,000 students. But it's not for lack of opportunity. I was sitting in class one day with him, and he was lecturing to us, and he said, you know, he was actually on this topic of purpose, and he said, you know, I've had opportunities through the years to become the president of Dallas Theological Seminary. I used to speak at Billy Graham Crusades, and they wanted me to come on the circuit when they weren't in Dallas, and I said, no, I've got a bunch of delicious students that are waiting for me back in seminary. He had opportunity. He was, this may be his greatest accomplishment, right? He was the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, I mean, this guy presided in 2000. He was the pastor that presided over Tom Landry's funeral. I mean, it wasn't for lack of opportunity, but it was because Howard Hendricks went, my purpose is to be a professor. And so I can say no to really good things because I know my purpose, which is why in 2003, in an interview for the Dallas Morning News, he said, you are looking at a completely fulfilled human being. If I died today, having produced some of the people God has given me the privilege of shaping, it will have been worth showing up on the planet. I love that. Here is a man, he knew who he wasn't. Not a president of a seminary. I'm not a circuit speaker. He knew who he was. I'm a professor. And because of that, there are thousands, I would say maybe millions of people in the world like me that got to sit under his teaching and then have been able to teach others because it was a man that said no to really good things because he wanted the purpose that God had called him to. So we need to know who we are not, and we need to be honest about it. We need to know who we are. But I think both of those are wrapped up in the most important one, and that is that we need to know whose we are. John 1:29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. You see, John the Baptist knew whose he was. He knew who he had been sent by, verse 33, he who sent me. He knew who he was looking for, the one who the Spirit descends on, the Christ. And John knew who he was serving, which is why in 34, he says, this is why I bear witness to this thing. John the Baptist knew whose he was, and he was so focused on it that everything else flew to the back. Notice that he never really even answers their question. I love this elusiveness of him. They look at him and they go, who are you? I'm not these things. Who are you? I'm this guy. Okay, then why are you baptizing? And he's going, guys, you don't get it. It's not about me. I am the one crying out in the wilderness, but you don't get it. It is about Christ. Verse 29 says that the next day they came and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what it's about. That's whose I am. I belong to the Lamb of God. And you know the crazy thing about lambs? Is they only serve one purpose. To be slaughtered. Right? In Jewish world, a lamb was food to be slaughtered, or it was a sacrifice at the temple. That was the entire purpose that lamb served. So my daughter, right? She's got this little stuffed lamb. We're really creative in my house. We call it Lammy. And so we've got Lammy, and she loves Lammy. And one of these days, we're going to have a ceremonial slaughtering of Lammy. Because I want her. I'm just totally kidding. Totally kidding. I'm just kidding. I am not that dad. I'm not that dad. No. But like, she, like, that's right. In our world, like, lambs are these cute little stuffed animals that our 3-year-old daughters run around, and they're like pets, and they're things we count as we go to sleep. And like, we've got these weird things about lambs. But in the Jewish mind, a lamb was food or it was a sacrifice. And so when John the Baptist looks and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," he is declaring that this is the Messiah and this is the prophet that you guys are claiming me to be, and I'm not either one of those things because that man is. He knew whose he was. So whose are you? You're looking for purpose? You're looking for who you are? You're looking for identity? You're looking, who do you belong to? If you are a Christ follower, if you are a disciple of Jesus, then I would say your purpose is to be his disciple. Those who are in the kingdom serve the king. The kingdom workers are about the king's purpose. How much more so is the creation about the purpose of its creator? If you are looking for this, then you've got to start seeing your purpose is more than just a role to play. Right? I'm a dad. Love being a dad. But if my purpose in life is to be a really good dad and something tragically happens to my kids, then I'm lost. Because my purpose was wrapped up in something that it wasn't supposed to be. I think this is why you see a lot of parents that have a great marriage and then they start having kids. And then they make their life's purpose about those kids. And being great parents becomes their purpose and their goal. And then the kids go off to college and the parents look at each other and go, "Well, we don't even know each other." And then they end up divorcing because the purpose for which they were together is now gone. They lost sight of what their purpose was about. I love being a husband. I love it. But if I make all of my life's purpose and that role of being a husband what my end goal is, and then something crazy and tragic happens to my wife, then I'm lost and I've just got to go find another wife because that's the only reason I exist. And then at this point, when no woman will have me, then I'm really lost, right? Like, because my purpose was all wrapped up in being a husband. Or if it's in being a great employee, if my purpose is wrapped up in being a great employee and then I lose my job, right? The economy tanks again, and I lose my job. Now what? Now, my entire life I've worked towards this, and in an instant it was taken away. Now what? Or if I make it about my gifts and my talents, and I develop those, and I'm a good steward of those, and hear me, we all should be. Now that's taken away. I don't know what to do. I'm now floundering. But if I let my purpose influence my roles, now I can go somewhere. So now I'm a really good husband, or you're a really good wife, because, hey, this is what Scripture says about doing it, and this is what being a disciple of Jesus says how a husband should live. And so that means if I'm no longer a husband, it's okay, because my purpose is still there. Yes, I'm still going to mourn that. It's still going to be horrible, and I would never wish that upon me or anybody, but I can keep going. If you're single, then now all of a sudden your purpose comes in going, okay, that person that I want to date and what I want to marry becomes my brother and sister in Christ first, rather than tail to chase. Because my purpose is about being a disciple of Jesus, so they're my brother and sister in Christ first, which also means I can stay single and still have a purpose in life, right? The church, sadly, we have not done a good job of teaching the beauty of being single in the body of Christ, and how we need those of you that are single to teach us how to love God better. Because the purpose isn't about just finding a spouse and going on in life. It's about being a great disciple. All of a sudden, if my purpose is, maybe you're employed, or maybe you're in between jobs, right? Like, wherever you land on that, then are you the best employee, or do you jump into the toxic, gossipy situation that everybody else in your office is in? Are you the light in the dark place? Because your purpose is not to just simply be a cog in a machine. It's to glorify God in your workplace. Amen. To make your work worship. If you are one of those that's like in between jobs and you're searching and you don't know what you're doing, then hey, you've got a little extra free time. Are you becoming a better disciple of Jesus? Are you taking this time to self-reflect and say, God, okay, why did I lose my job? Was it some fault of my own? And God, what are you trying to teach me in that? And okay, moving forward, what kind of an employee am I going to be that glorifies God more in this? Because either way, the purpose remains the same. And here's the beauty of this, people. There is no small role. In the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as a small role. God has a purpose for every one of you, but it's not about you. Because see, Paul tells us that we are in the body of Christ. And the body of Christ needs all of its members. And so you're looking up and going, hey, listen, I'm not an arm, I'm not a leg, I'm not a brain, I'm not a heart. Okay. This week I ruptured my eardrum, landed on a wave poorly, and which happens a lot to me, and ruptured my eardrum, and the doctor said, stay out of the water, and I was like, there's these wax things you can put in, and so I did that instead, because I'm here for 2 weeks, and I'm surfing, baby. And so this week, I learned how valuable an ear is. Did you know the three smallest bones in the body are the malleus, the incus, and the stapes? Three smallest bones in the body, but these three bones together, when they are working in unison correctly, are allowing you to hear my voice right now. Because there is no small part. Which is why in 1 Corinthians 12 it says, for in fact the body is not a single member, but many. If the foot says, since I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it does not lose its membership in the body because of that. And if the ear says, since I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it does not lose its membership in the body because of that. If the whole body were an eye, what part would do the hearing? If the whole were an ear, what part would exercise the sense of smell? But as a matter of fact, God has placed each of the members in the body just as he decided. Because God has a purpose for you, but it's not about you. It's about the body of Christ and his kingdom and his namesake. And so, nobody has a small part. And okay, maybe you're sitting here going, but man, Grant, you don't know my screw-ups, my hang-ups, my past. I have disqualified myself from service in the kingdom of God. Then I would come back and go, you're not hearing me. God has a purpose for you, and it's not about you. Be humble enough to let God use you with all of your hang-ups and screw-ups. He has placed you in the body for a reason. We've got to know who we are. We've got to know who we aren't, and we've got to be honest about it, but we can't forget whose we are. And maybe today, you're not a believer. Maybe today, you don't know whose you are. If I was to ask you, who do you belong to, you'd be like, me, mine. I do what I want, when I want, and nobody can tell me otherwise. Okay. I would submit that you're not really living, you're only existing. I would submit that if that's the case, then everything that you are finding that identity in and your purpose is not going to last. Okay, you've got a great job. That could end. Now what? Your marriage, it's going to get hard. Tragedy could happen. And if for some reason you're one of those that God looks at and his grace falls on the just and the unjust alike, and you keep your job and you stay married to your spouse and you tragedy never happens, well, guess what? One of these days, you're going to die. You can't avoid it unless Christ comes. Like, you're going to die. And all of that stuff that you have found your purpose in and that you have wrapped yourself up in, you can't take it with you. The only thing you can take with you into eternity is your relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing what John the Baptist knew here, that he said, there is one who comes after me who is before me, which makes John sound crazy, but what he's saying is Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he is God, and he is mine, and I am his. So this morning, it's really simple. If you're a Christ follower, are you letting God speak to you and the Spirit work in you and say, listen, here's who you're not. Here's just who you're not. So quit spending time going after that stuff, even though it's a good thing. Here's who you are. Here's the role that I've given you to play within the body of Christ, within the greater purpose of being my disciple. So run after that. And if you make that your purpose, then when it gets hard, and it's going to get hard, you can keep going after it because you found your purpose in that, because you know who you belong to and that you are marked and that you are paid for by the blood of Christ. And if you're not a believer here, then let me just ask you during this prayer time to just search your heart And ask yourself the honest question, what are you living for? Who are you living for? And I hope and I trust that the Spirit would work in this moment and that you would make it about Christ and his kingdom, because he is God. I'm going to pray here in a minute, and then the prayer team is going to come up to the front, and the worship team is going to come and lead us in another song. And I just want to invite anybody that the Spirit is working in this morning, maybe it's come up and be honest with somebody about who you're not for the first time. Maybe it's come up and just share with someone where once upon a time you knew your purpose and you've lost it along the way. And you just need prayer to refocus and to find that purpose again. Or maybe it is to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time. We're going to give you an opportunity for that. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, that you give us examples of men like John the Baptist, who, even though he doubted later, God, he's in prison and he was doubting when he was told that Christ is the Messiah, he pursued that purpose to death. Father, thank you for Christ and his death and resurrection, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Father, I ask now for each of us in our hearts and our minds, and it was Romans 12, that as you renew our minds, Father, we would be able to focus on the purpose that you have called us to. Because God, we each have a purpose. It's not about us. It is about Christ. So it's in his name and by the Holy Spirit that I pray these things. Amen.